Amen, amen. God is good. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I think some of this is going to tie in just a little bit today, even with what Doug was sharing, because it's talking about faith and standing and trusting God. And you know, the only times that we really see the benefit of God is in a problem, generally. I mean, I've never, in my earlier lives, never paid much attention to God when everything was going well. And we're going to be looking, you can turn to James, it's going to be very simple. We've been through this before and we've known it. James 1, 2, 3, 4, right through there. But getting into this area of James, but it's a good understanding that even for us today, and it's a refresher to know that by that of trials, it builds your faith. And we know what pleases the Lord, our faith. And as Doug shared already, you know, faith is not believing what you already have or that you see it coming. Faith is seeing something that is off of your radar screen, but you know it's coming. You trust God enough to know he's bringing it to you by how he wants to, though. Now, there's the clincher. It's not by how I want him to bring it to me. So I've got to have faith that God has heard my prayer. I have to have faith that God is going to answer my prayer. I have faith that God is going to send that answer. And then I've got to have faith that God's way is better than my way. So there's a lot wrapped up into that little statement of OE, of little faith, you know, help me with my faith. And so as we go through our life, we have grown. Has anybody out there grown in your life? Has your faith grown from where it had been to today? Well, I've got good news for you. Your faith is going to grow even some more for tomorrow and next month, next year. Whatever that other situation is out there that God already knows because he's all-knowing. And the only thing that I'm all-knowing about is that this, my God, has the answer. Whatever it may be, my God has the answer. It's not my answer, it's his answer. And through our journeys of faith, it's our times that we have learned to trust and lean on him more and more and more. I hope you lean on him every day. He wants you to lean on him every day so that we don't get this thing within us that, oh, he was with me through this, and now this has come up, and it's not that serious. I can handle it myself, when in actuality, God wants to handle your major situations and your minor situations. Why is that? Because when we allow that to happen, he becomes Lord of all, God of everything in my life, from the big concerns to the little concerns. When we get to that level of understanding and realize that we can't make it without him, we begin to fall away at times. We begin to look at the world's ways of doing things, man's answers to situations, man's directions on what to do. So please, stay focused on God. And as we look at it today, I would tell you this, adversity helps us. Isn't that good news? Do I hear an amen? Adversity helps us. Amen, brother. Bring it on. Everybody's like, I ain't going to say that. No way. Well, no, I'm not looking for it, but I just know it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. God's word tells it's going to happen. So why be surprised when it happens? But just be prepared that when it does come, that we quickly go to our source, God. And say, here it is, God. Here it is. So having trials, hey, count it all joy. That's in James. Trials. Trials could be that of temptations or adversity. Temptations or adversity. But hey, having a trial, having an adversity, count it a joyful time. You and the Lord are going to have a good time in this, my friends. Amen. We go into those times, maybe we ought to get to that point and say, okay, Lord, this is a trial. This is an adversity in my life or whatever. I'm going to have joy in it because I know you're there with me. And you're going to carry me through it. You're going to make a way where there seems to be no way. You're going to open doors that need to be opened, close doors that need to be closed, bring down the mountain, bring up the valley, make straight the road. Whatever it is, Lord, you're going to do it. Ha! Want patience? Your faith will be tested. How many times do we hear people say, I just need more patience. Gosh, if I could just have more patience in this. And it's like, here you come, brother. Here you come, sister. It's coming your way. You know? It's just like, okay, here we go. So what, if you want patience, your faith is going to be tested. Now, patience is what? Endurance or perseverance. The times that I have found my walk with God grow a lot or to the benefit is what? That's when I feel closer to God. And I also feel closer to God when I'm not going through things. Yeah, I can have it both ways. Because I want more of Him in my life. More of Him day in and day out. There in the good times, there in my bad times. And what about this? Are you lacking wisdom? Ask God for that. Now this wisdom, we got to understand, is biblical wisdom, not the worldly wisdom. Worldly wisdom and things deals with philosophical things and philosophically, or we're trying to dig into the deep things. But when we look at the wisdom of that of God, we want a spiritual, biblical answer of wisdom to what the situation is at hand, how I should handle it, or what my part is to play in it. And God will tell you, Tim, you've got to do this, and then I'm going to do this, and things are going to work out for you. Or it could be to where I need totally Him, and He'll take care of it there. But my wisdom is being led by that of the Holy Spirit. So we find in this letter that is being addressed to Christians that are living outside the time of Palestine back then when James was writing this, the writer James is helping them as well as for us today that becoming a Christian does not automatically exclude us from problems and difficulties. We find some additional writings to this subject. We find that in John 15:20. A servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. 2 Timothy, yes. 2 Timothy 3:12, yes. And all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. 1 Peter 1:6-7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved or distressed. Anybody been distressed? Been grieved, distressed by various trials. That the genuineness of your, what? Faith. The genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, and though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So let us look and read 1 James. It talks there in the beginning, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is to the 12 tribes. They're scattered abroad. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. A lot of different types of trials, and there's going to be a lot of them. There's plurality there. Yes, plural, various trials. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We look at that word of perfect there in verse 4. It's a word there that we would insert mature. Let you be mature. At one time, we're baby Christians. We're learning, we're growing, we're crawling, we get up, we fall down, we get up, we fall down, we stumble as we begin to walk, we get up, we stumble some more, and then we hold on to things to get our balance. It's like you look at our kids, and many of us, I know I was not one of those, but you know, you start your kids on a bike with training wheels so that they can tip, but it stops, it tips and it stops. I remember when I started riding a two-wheeler, it was a bike so big, and my parents put me on it, and my one brother held it and pushed it off, and I was doing good. I was going straight, man, going down beside our house on the street. The only problem is my brother had to run after me because I hadn't mastered the ability to turn it. Because why? It takes more balance to turn. I could hold it straight and keep that. And I guess they told me to turn, turn. turn. I probably yelled back, I can't. So my brother runs after me and saves me. Nowadays, I got some grandkids and they got these bikes. Now they're called balance bikes. There's no pedals or nothing, but they just sit on them and they use their feet to go along. And I guess they can kind of coast a little bit, but their feet are down. They call them a balance bike. New things nowadays, you know. We're always being innovative. But it's like that in our Christian walk. We started out coming to Christ and we were babes. I didn't know nothing other than Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. And I was looking forward to whatever he had because I read his word and began to get deep into his word. And I thought, I like what he says. Anybody here like what the word of God says? Amen. It should help us. It should encourage us. It should bring us from that place that we were back in the past, like, and I don't want to go back there. Anybody here want to go back? No, don't go. Look forward. Much, much better what he's got planned for us. Not just in heaven, but even here on this earth. Been living a wonderful life here on this earth, serving God, being used by God, learning more of God, just to do whatever I can for God. God, we want to please someone. Man, I want to please God. Amen. That old song, was it Ricky Nelson sang it or something like that? Going to the garden party. If you can't please everyone, you got to please yourself. We've come to a point where we like to please everybody. We're people pleasers. Well, that's okay. But you don't understand, you're not going to please everybody. And then you got to go, well, I'm just going to please myself. Well, you know how I please myself? I just please myself now that I'm inwardly. I just turned outwardly, but I turned outwardly to the one source, that of God. So that I can please myself with him. He can move in and take residency in me by that of the Holy Spirit. And then I go out and I do what he's asked us all to do. Go out and share the good news. Go out and cross paths of people that you don't even know. And you don't know 5 years from now, your path is going to cross that family's path for another situation, just like I shared earlier about this upcoming funeral. We don't know what our steps are taking us to, but only God does. But I know that as I trust my God, I'm on the right path. How about you? And if we're on the right path, we're going to do what our Lord and God wants us to do, and we're going to follow him and obey him. And even though persecutions and adversity and all these things happen, we're going to keep going forward. Don't retreat. Keep taking the ground. God says he goes before us. We are heading into a battle. You're heading into a battle. You've got to know by that of what God is telling us, and a surety is this, that I go before you. And he's already doing that battle. We know the battle is in the spiritual realm. So he's already dealing with things spiritually that maybe I'm not even noticing at this point on my, it's not even a blip on my spiritual radar. But as I'm following God, I'm a child of God, I'm going this way, I'm advancing the way he wants me to go. God is out there somewhere and he's already doing some business, but maybe I get there and there's still some business to go through. Adversities, problems, but I stay focused and I know that he's there. And I trust that he's there. Now this enemy, the god of this world, will come and sit on my shoulder and will say, are you sure he's there? Why would you be going through all this? Why would you have this happen? Why would you have that happen? Why would this person do this that you know that's got this or blah, 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 blah? And so the devil likes to bring in the doubts to begin you second guessing your relationship with that of God. He tries to get you to second guess God's word and what God's word says. And God's word is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, forever. We can rely and trust that. Hallelujah. So we need to meet trials head on. So let's finish reading here as where I stopped. Ah, boy. But let patience have its perfect work that you may be perfect or mature and complete, lacking nothing. We have got to, you've got to get this between your ears and down into your heart, that what God has for you, he's put into you. Amen? You have it already. We've had a message on that probably a couple of months back now. I said, everything that God is going to put into you, he put in when we received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, asked for the Holy Spirit, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit comes in. He's there. You've got the power, the presence, and everything. You've got that authority. It's all there. We just have to begin to activate it in our operating system of life, like that of computerizations and stuff, putting new uploads into your computer, updating this, updating that. It does no good until you update it. And then what do you have to do when you do an update on a computer nowadays for it to take effect? Restart, because it's got to take it back down. And then when it opens back up, this new code and all the stuff that's in there gets synchronized into this whole, whatever, the brain of the computer, you know? So we've got all of this, and, you know, we marvel at the computers of today, but I think it's still true, isn't it? Unless I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, shout out. But I still read articles, and it still says that the best computer that man has put together, the human brain still functions faster than that computer, as far as making decisions and things, how millisecond these things are happening. I just get amazed when I go to the eye doctor and he was explaining some things about vision and how it bounces into your back and it pumps this and then your brain does this and it turns your picture that from upside down to right side up, if I remember all those pictures, you know. But it's like instantly, we have a magnificent operating system, our brain. But also there's a danger with that. When man tries to understand God with their brain, it doesn't compute because of the things of what God says. Because it takes faith, it takes trust, it takes believing that his word is the Bible, inspired to men by that of the Spirit of God. And then goes on in 5. If any of you lacks of wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, until it will be given to him. We will dig into a little bit of this and try to share it here and try to stay on task here. So we need to meet trials head on and with God's perspective, viewing these trials as a way to attain our moral and spiritual growth, to be more like that of God, to understand the things of God in our lives and how we can be to help to those around us. We're not being told to rejoice in a trial itself, but in the result or the possible results of that situation. Here again, it's the times when you've prayed with somebody and they have come through a situation and the Lord touched them miraculously. The Lord touched the doctors to do the miraculous. The Lord gave man wisdom to put the right medicine together for that person to take, that they are able to come back to what they were, whatever the case is. And we all have like a celebration dance. It's like that football player. Now granted, these guys are getting paid like, you know, a zillion dollars to catch a football. When they catch a football in the end zone, they make a big spectacle like, hey, look what I did. Hey, hey, hey. But we all like to do a victory dance. We all like to do that when we see the power of God touch someone. We shout, oh, hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. Praise you, Father. And we're not praising him to say, wow, that really worked. Prayer really works. Hopefully we're praying or praising him because it's like, Lord, we prayed for that. And Lord, that fulfilled and that manifested. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the honor and all the glory for the care that you have for us and answering our prayer for sister so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Thank you, Father. Yeah, don't rejoice with the trial, but just know that you're going to rejoice at the end of that because you're going to see your Heavenly Father in a much closer light, a much closer relationship, because he did that for you. He took care of you. He did whatever it was that was needed. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, thank you, Lord. I mean, I can get excited with God just waking up in the morning and seeing the sunrise, seeing a sunset. I can just get close to God by just saying, thank you, God. Praise you, Father. You are magnificent. Why is it, Lord, that people doubt that there's a creator like you? Wow. Thank you, my Lord. So testing our faith through trials is a way of discipline. Oh boy, we don't like that. Discipline. don't tell me how to do this or do that. I mean, we had conversations with that with people about, you know, even children, and they don't even know how to be bad, but it's already there within them to be bad. You know, push down their little brother or sister. Little brother or sister's got something they want, they go over and they take it. Little sister starts, wah! Mom and dad say what? Give that whatever to your sister. Give that back to your brother. It's like, it's just, yeah. It's that, you know, you talk about a circle of life. That's kind of like what that is. As we raise ourselves and we become this and we grow up and we're on our own, we receive Christ and things begin to change and we have a new circle of life. Amen. Hallelujah. So testing of our faith and trials is a way of discipline to build our faith and to purge. Now, I came across this. To purge your faith of dross. D-R-O-S-S, dross. Stripping away what is false. So dross, if you look at that, and anything that you look at to take away, strip away dross and this and that, it'd be like that really of gold, purifying gold, you know, to heat it up, to get rid of the impurities, the dross, and so it's perfectly pure. So that's what this is. So to discipline and to build our faith and to purge our faith of dross, and that it would be this, that of no use or value. Our faith has to be tried. Our faith develops and gets stronger. I believe as we go longer with God, our faith should be getting pure with Him. And then my thoughts and what I'm thinking, and I hope I glorify you in this, is that as I go in my journey with you, that my faith is getting stronger, more pure, and that the dross of my faith has been that's not of value drops off. So that I got pure faith. Testing of our faith through trials is a way of discipline to build our faith and to purge our faith of dross, that of use or of no value, stripping it away, that which is false. Looking at this word patience, this is not something that is a passive to resign ourselves to adverse situations. It's not to sit there and say, okay, I'm going to glory in this situation, but it's a positive steadfastness to what? Bravely endure. How are you going to endure a problem, a trial? Are you going to do it on your own strength? And if it's on your own strength, how long will that last? We all have different levels of strength and ability to stand for a certain length of time. But as man, as human, it will falter and you will grow weak and you will fall down. And chances are that situation is still strong. But you held up to it. By golly, I stood my ground for 2 days, 3 weeks, a month, but it finally overtook me because I was standing in my strength, my abilities, my ways. But I've got to have patience. But it's a positive steadfastness to bravely endure. And when I'm standing and I'm enduring, I'm standing and I'm steadfastness with that of the Lord in me. Like that of the steadfast love of the Lord is never ceasing. His mercies are new every day. That gives us an understanding that every day our life changes. Every day we have something come up. Every day we're doing something, and it could be the same old, but it's something different, whatever the case is. But the Lord is steadfast. If I look at Him as my example, He's not movable. He's not going to move. If it's a situation where He's going to stand and say, when all else fails, do what? Stand. And when things happen and you're still in prayer and things are still happening, are you to do running and sitting down or give up? No. He says, and when all else happens and nothing's happened so far, stand. Stand. Don't give up the ground. But Tim, how can I stand when I'm growing weak? Because you're growing weak because you're trying to do it in your power, in your strength. Pretty simple wisdom there. But that's that, remember? Ask for biblical spiritual wisdom. It's like, yeah, I can understand you're growing weak, my friend, but you're trying to stand in your strength. Then you turn it over to God. Well, I turned it over to Him, and But it didn't come as fast as I wanted, so I took it back. I'm going to do it my way. And that only helps for Frank Sinatra. Okay? I'm glad I got an older crowd here. If we had a bunch of young kids here, they'd be, Frank Sinatra, who's that? Yeah. But we got to do it the Lord's way. And I believe the Lord would tell us today that whatever you're in, whatever the situation is taking part in your life, the Lord is telling you, stand. But, no, stand. But, Lord, you don't know, but stand. Amen? Listen to that of the Lord into your spirit, because that's what the Holy Spirit is about. That's why Jesus says, I got to go so he can come, and all the great things that came with that. But it's by that of the Holy Spirit speaking in our spirit that I tell you, I hear God speak to me a lot. How about you? Well, not if it's verbally, per se. Maybe some have had that where it feels like you thought, what? What'd you say, Lord? And you're the only one in the room. But there's been a lot of times it's like it is so real within you. It's just, you know God spoke to you. You just know it. Those are blessed times. Those are times that we, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for speaking into my spirit that I truly heard you. I heard your audible voice right here at my heart. And now what I've got to do is follow that audible voice so that I please him. Amen. So it's not being passive or resigning ourselves to, like, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have a steadfastness, and we're going to bravely endure. And we're going to endure because of God with us. And if God is for us, who can be against us? And he will never leave us nor forsake us. I want to touch base here on patience in trials, okay? It says here that the testing of faith produces patience, the ability to endure, which is the hallmark of the mature believer. Now, it's only under the pressure of trials can the believer test the true depth of his faith in God. The established heart will not waver, but will rejoice in the knowledge of the goodness of God. And that's what this is. Only under the pressure of trials can we be tested and see the true depth of our faith. To see our true depth of our trust with that of God. And I always pray it to the point of saying, Lord, I hope I don't need a trial that's very traumatic and majorly out there to test my faith with where I'm at with you. I pray, Lord, that I'm hooked up to you in a very strong and tight way. When we read in James 1:2 about rejoice when the trials come to test your faith. Know that patience results when your faith is tested by those trials. And endure, verse 4, endure that God has enough time to bring about the Christ-likeness he intends through that trial. Ask God in verse 5. Ask God for wisdom. When a trial comes, if you do not know what to do, he does. And he wants to help you through your trials. Amen. Now we look at this verse 4, that you may have be perfect and complete. Perfect is being mature. We've already talked about that. Knowing that it doesn't mean absolute sinlessness, but it carries the idea of being fully developed or being mature. This life, I know as many times as we say, well, I'm a child of God and I will never sin until I go home. Hit yourself. Your flesh. You're going to sin. Well, I'm not going to do this or this. You're going to sin. Paul tells us, oh, the things that I should do, I don't, and the things that I shouldn't do, I do. I had a very interesting call this past couple of days back. She needs some help. She is just stressed. And so she is screaming. She's, oh God, I'm so sorry. Oh God, I've slandered you. Oh God. So anyway, so I'm talking to her, and she went on and on and on for a few minutes, and I couldn't get a word in edgewise. She was just screaming and hollering and, oh God, I'm sorry. I've slandered you. Oh God, I'm so, blah, 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 blah. So I finally called her name, keeping my voice calm. Hello. What's going on? Okay, let's come down. So anyway, she said she had slandered God. So we kind of started going through, and she says, I just started speaking in tongues this past week and all. So I'm thinking, okay, I didn't dig deep to find out, but I'm hoping that, you know, the right tongues, and she was some kind of background. I don't know. Can't really go into that. So that kind of gave me hope. You know, okay, she just started speaking in tongues. I said, so that means you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes. So then I started talking to her. And she was saying, oh, God's not going to receive me. I've dishonored him. I've slandered my boyfriend. I thought she had slandered the Holy Spirit and stuff like that, but as we found into things. So anyway, through about a 25-minute conversation on the phone of praying and her praying and finally calming down, and she began to talk, and we had a good conversation towards the end of it. And I started speaking of things and speaking of the Holy Spirit, because she said she speaks in tongues. I'm going for it. And so I said, well, the Holy Spirit God sent to you so that he can speak to you and so that you can hear him and be led and guided by him. And towards the end of the conversation, she goes, oh, Pastor. She called me a father a few times. Father, Father. Oh, I'm sorry, Pastor. It's like, it's okay. She goes, oh, okay. And we got into a conversation of just talking. Had another time of prayer. More talking, prayer. I started praying. She started praying before I even asked her to pray. I started saying, well, let me pray about this and this. And she started repeating what I was praying, kind of talking about. So we just automatically went into a prayer. Okay, let's just take this thing and go with it. And so by the time we ended, she goes, oh, you know, Pastor, ooh, every time you say the Holy Spirit, she goes, I just get goosebumps here. And this is in a car, I don't know where, Milton Avenue, somewhere in town. I'm talking to her on a cell phone. But it was kind of cool. But it goes back to, she slandered God because she spoke bad things, negative things about some family member or whatever, you know. And that wasn't a godly thing to do. And she shed a bad light upon her Father in heaven. I said, your Father in heaven loves you. And he has grace and mercy for you even today. And if you received Jesus Christ sometime back, so you received him as your Lord and Savior, your sins were taken care of back then. But I said, even today, you're going to do things. We're all going to do things. I've done things that I need to repent it from. Even today, as a pastor, when I know by that of the Holy Spirit, it has upset my Father, or it made my Father in heaven kind of like, Tim, you could have spoke a little different about that. You could have shared this differently. You shouldn't have said that, whatever the case is. We know God's word says that to know to do good and not do it is sin. Things of that nature. But we live in this world where things happen and we say things and we abruptly say things and then our mind kicks in and then we go, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, forgive me, Lord. So anyway, I say all that to say this, that as we go through this life, we are, believe it or not, at times we may step into sin and we didn't even know it. But then the Holy Spirit convicts us. And that's what I told her. I said, hey, whatever her name is I made up. I can't remember what it is now. I said, hey, what has happened and what you're sensing in your spirit then is that God is convicting you by the Holy Spirit. I said, the world condemns you. Spirit of God, and God will just convict you to clean you up and to make us closer to that like of God that would like us or love us. So don't be condemned. Just be convicted. Turn it over to God. Amen. And go on with life. And here again, have a victory there. Praise God, you know, whatever the case might be. So we find these things, and it says, with Christ for us, God being with us and having the Holy Spirit in us, we should not be lacking in anything that will help us through this life. So what is it that we should do? Ask for wisdom if you're lacking it. God will give it to you. Hallelujah. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives it all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to you. We find this here as we wrap this up. If you look at that word reproach, originally it would be this, to behave in an immature manner. In describing youngsters, it would be like that of making fun, teasing, taunting each other. And then the word kind of grew into a thought of this. Then the word came to denote mocking, scolding, ridiculing, insulting, and being sarcastic. That's reproach. Now, as we look at this, and here's what's so wonderful about this. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it'll be given to him. We can look at our past and see how we don't deserve what Jesus did for us by dying on the cross. But God loves us so much that he made a way for us to be reconciled back to him, and a way for us to be cleansed from our sins, past, present, and future, by what? The blood of Jesus that was shed upon the cross. So as we look at this, what God is saying, or what James is saying here, God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We find in James 1:5 assures us this, really what this is meaning here is that God gives it without reminding us of our unworthiness. Thank you, Lord. God's not going to stand there and wiggle his finger at you and say, oh, you're an evil person. Oh, you're this, you're that. He's going to give it to us. And when I read this here in one of my footnotes, it's like, oh my goodness, Lord, or a wealth of my Bible here, that it assures us that God gives us without reminding us of unworthiness. The only one that reminds us of our unworthiness is the devil. And then sometimes our own thoughts get in there and we just do our own thing. Like, I'm so unworthy. I am so unworthy. I want to close out quickly, and I want to turn to Ephesians. And I just want to read here quickly about this. But it talks about our redemptive in that of Christ. This is in Ephesians 1. You can read 3, 4, 5, 6, and all that, but I want to get into 7. Because here it is in 7. We're going to find three things that we find in him, in Christ. Amen? So first, our Ephesians 1, 7. I'm going to start. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us all in wisdom and prudence, or understanding, it could say. Verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. Verse 11, here it is. In him also we have what? Obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, and that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. And the final in him in verse 13. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, or the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, that you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Oh, hallelujah, the redemptiveness of that of Christ. It's all in him. It ain't in any one of us. It's all in him. Heavenly Father, glory. Hallelujah. Oh, Father. That's why we can say, I need you more. More than yesterday, I need you more. More than words can say, I need you more. Oh, Father. Find a hungry people. Find us here, a hungry church, wanting more of you. And as we hunger more for you, and you fill us more with you, oh Father, let there be a revival start within us individually, Lord, and then let that fire spread. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. Again, Lord, for this wonderful time that was ordained by you, Lord. You've already set this in motion, and Father, we thank you for being with us. I pray, Lord, that you touch each and every one of our hearts. Lord, I pray that things that I shared, Lord, would just be remembered to those, Lord, not what I said, but what the Spirit has said. And Lord, just bring it home into the listeners' hearts and minds, Lord, by that through the Spirit. Father, touch us. Touch us in a most special, special way.